So, another new year. We're well into the year now, and I guess that a lot of people who made bold and positive resolutions a week ago will maybe beginning to be faltering a little bit by now. As usual, one of the things that I decided was that as the new year starts, I need more exercise. It is a bit of a sedentary life being a vicar. You spend so much time sitting around and drinking endless cups of tea. So, new year, I fired up the old Wii Fit. And I discovered a very sad truth. I'm not as fit as I used to be. And I have to say, I just don't understand it. It's not as if I've done anything to make myself unfit. But without me doing anything, that's just what seems to have happened. It is so frustrating. And I have a sneaking suspicion that if I do get my fitness levels up, and my aim is to be able to once again touch my knees and possibly do a press up, if I even get to that level, I just realize it's all going to go wrong the moment I stop. For me, getting fit is only the first part of the job. Staying fit, that's the problem. And it isn't just being fit. The new year brought a renewed desire to play the piano again. But when I sat down to play, nightmare! My fingers didn't seem to know what they were doing. And again, it's not as though I deliberately forgot how to play. Many years ago I could play, but now for some reason I can't. And the only reason I can think of is that it must be something to do with the fact that I never practice. It just seems that in life, if you don't make some sort of effort to maintain some ability, then it'll slip away while you're not watching. And I have a sneaking suspicion that what's true of physical fitness and what's true of musical fitness is also true of spiritual fitness. In fact, I think our theme verse for this year hints at just that. So we're going to be particularly thinking about that verse, but let's turn now to the passage from the Bible, where it's taken from. I think Ian's going to come and read for us.
The reading is taken from the beginning of chapter 15 in John, page 1083. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word for the Lord.
I guess for anybody who knows the Bible, it is one of Jesus' best-known images. The vine and the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Bearing much fruit. Isn't that what you'd like for 2017? You see, I think deep inside, that's what everyone wants. To be fulfilled. For their life to have meaning and significance. To be able to make a difference. And Jesus says, that's really only possible with him. Now, that doesn't mean that anyone who's not a Christian can't ever do anything worthwhile. There are so many people who do so much good in our world and in our community. But you have to be honest. So often the best that people can do is kind of put a sticking plaster on a problem. We can't change things at the most fundamental level because they can't change people. Someone said, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And only Jesus can change the human heart. We can't do it ourselves. Only Jesus can bring about that deep, radical change in someone. So ultimately, it's true. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. Just like that car without its batteries earlier in the service. Without Jesus, something fundamental will be missing from life. The thing that drives it. The thing that makes it different. So one of the most important things we can be doing this year is actually helping others to find that real life which only Jesus gives. And it's why I'm hoping that that we're going to be running something called Life Explored soon. Might be that you've never really understood this whole thing about the difference that Jesus makes. It may well be that actually you have understood it in the past, but it's all become very stale now and you need that reminder. Life Explored just looks like a brilliant, brilliant series. And if it's something you'd be interested in, do please let me know. We just need to make sure that we've got enough people to really be able to run it. It'll be hopefully running Monday evening, starting towards the end of the month. But yeah, there's some details in the newsletter, the yellow newsletter. But if it's something you'd be interested in, do please tell me. It's part of our vision of making disciples. And we do it not actually because we want to put more bums on pews, but because we love people. We just want others to have those fulfilled and fruitful lives. But of course, when Jesus first said this, he wasn't actually saying it to invite others to join him, but saying it to those who were already his disciples. Because you see, it is possible to have become a disciple of Jesus, to have started following him, and still to be unfruitful, and still waste your life. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What God wants for you in 2017 is for you to be fruitful. But it won't just kind of happen. There are things that can prevent a Christian from being fruitful. And when that happens, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. I'm pretty sure that is not what you want for your life this year. And I'm completely sure that it's not what God wants for your life this year. God wants your life to be fruitful. So, when Jesus says all this, what's he talking about? What sort of fruit does God want to see your life producing? I guess there's loads of things we could think of, and many of them would be perfectly legitimate. But just look what Jesus says here. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Now, if you flip back to the previous page, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Put those two together. How do you show that you're a disciple? By bearing fruit. How do you show that you're a disciple? By loving other Christians. So the fruit that Jesus is talking about here seems particularly to be the fruit of love. love for other Christians. You actually see the same connection just a bit later in John 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. This is my command, love one another. So although there are many ways in which our lives as Christians should be fruitful, Jesus seems to me here to be highlighting one particular thing. Love. Love particularly for other Christians. Love for those who are part of the fellowship here. Now, I guess that if you've been around at church for a while, you will probably have heard that before. Loads of times before. Oh yes, love's important. But just think, if Jesus makes such a big thing of it here, there's got to be a couple of things that that means. Firstly, it really is important. And secondly, it really will not come naturally. If it came naturally, why would Jesus need to say? And it doesn't come naturally because the sort of love which Jesus is talking about is costly. It's often inconvenient. It is the sort of love that pushes you outside your comfort zone. And nobody likes that. It means you'll get close to people you would not normally have anything to do with. You see, it's dead easy to get along with those you get along with. What makes this so radical and so countercultural is that it involves getting on with those you don't get on with. And it involves doing so, so much more than just getting on with them. And in 2017, we want to be growing in that. We want to be growing disciples. We want to be growing disciples among our children and young people. We want to be helping those who are new Christians to grow in their faith. Those who come along maybe for the first time to just feel welcomed and engaged. But that's not going to happen unless we actually love them. You see, if we really loved the children who are part of Christ Church, Gwen would have a queue of people banging on her door asking to be allowed to help in Sunday Club. If we really loved newcomers to Christ Church, they wouldn't be able to get away on a Sunday morning because so many people were trying to chat to them and encourage them. And if we love others in the church, we'll just do whatever we can to support them when they're struggling. One of the ways of engaging with that is a new pastoral care course. Again, there are some details about it in the yellow newsletter. Just helping us to be able to support and encourage one another. But love is not something that just some people in the church should be doing. It's just, from what Jesus says here, it's kind of a hallmark. It's what all of us should be doing. So, what can you do? You know, get stuck into a home group. Make sure you get to know the other people here in church, not just your little group. Pray for one another. Use a prayer diary. Look for ways in which you can serve. Debbie's going to be talking about that next Sunday. But a key element in what we want to be doing in 2017 is focusing on things which will grow a genuine love within Christchurch. You see, being disciples involves being fruitful. And the fruit that God is looking for specifically is that fruit of love in all of our relationships. And if you stop and think about it, as that fruit grows, what a great place Christchurch will be. It'll be so good to be part of it. Your life can be genuinely fulfilled and fruitful as you play your part in that. But as I say, if you've been around at church for a while, you know all that. You've heard me say that before. And it doesn't make much difference just hearing me say it, does it? No. But just stop and look at what Jesus says here. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Jesus is not saying, right now, get on with it. Go and love one another. What he's saying is, if you remain in me and I in you, this is just going to happen naturally. The fruit of love won't come because we try harder. It'll be produced naturally as we remain in Jesus. So what does that mean? How do we do that? I used to think that to remain was kind of a passive thing. It's like, you know, I remain in England as long as I don't travel somewhere else. It's kind of a default. So, you know, I remain in Jesus as long as I don't decide to go and walk away from him. But my experience with fitness and with playing the piano and with so many other things in life has made me think about it differently. You see, if I do get any sort of fit in the next few months, I will only remain fit as long as I actively work at it. That has been my problem historically. It's a bit like riding a bike. If you stop pedaling, you fall off. You don't remain on the bike. So remaining in Jesus has got to be anything but passive. Look at verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. So remaining in Jesus is to do with his words remaining in us. It's kind of like we've got this image of the vine, and it's as though Jesus is saying that his words are like the sap which flow through the branches and enable them to be fruitful. And specifically, I think he's talking about the gospel. You see, we need constantly to be remembering what God has done for us through Jesus. We need to constantly be remembering that before we were Christians, we were, as Paul says in Ephesians, without hope and without God in the world. And everything in the life of discipleship should stem from the glorious truth that God has given us life. When you put your trust in Jesus, when you ask him to come into you, he gives you his life. And remaining in Jesus involves just living that life, being reminded of that from the whole of the Bible, having your life shaped by that. It is as God's words remain in us, as we study the Bible, as we read the Bible, as we hear the Bible being taught, we understand more of the depth of God's love and his grace. And as that happens, naturally, we'll begin to treat others as he's treated us. But without that, love will just be something we try to do on our own strength. We will try to make ourselves be fruitful. And we will fail and become jaded in our discipleship. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And if you are feeling, oh, actually, that's a bit like me. Yeah, I'm working really hard trying to do stuff in church and it's just feeling frustrating. Maybe it's because you've just lost the sight of the gospel. And if that is the case, then Life Explored could be just the thing for you. As we remain in him, there's one more great promise in this passage. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As we remain in Jesus, feeding on his word, letting his word go deep within us, meditating on what God's done for us, allowing the Bible to shape our hearts and minds, what really matters to us will increasingly be the things that really matter to God. And those things will dominate our prayers. So 2017 will be a time when we will just need to keep going on exploring prayer. Debbie's already working on some things to do with that. We're going to be doing something special in Lent. Later on in the year, the archbishops have called the whole church to prayer for the 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost. But you don't have to wait till then, because we've got prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God's purpose in 2017, for you as an individual, for us as a church, is to be fruitful. So please, don't be like that car without a battery. Don't be like me with my lost fitness. Just give yourself anew to remaining in Jesus, growing in your knowledge and love of him, and just see what God can do through you this year.